Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Thanks so much for joining us. Welcome to the show, and I want to get on with it with our next guest, and she is Catherine Wertheim, and she's with her company is called Worth It, which is a great name for a company. I look forward to talking to Catherine about that. Let me tell you a little bit about what she does, and let me tell you why you should care. A lot of you are business owners, and you get invited to give back, to be on a nonprofit board of directors. You want to give back to the community, and you need to know some things about that, how to make that an effective engagement so you can give back with the most impact. And Catherine's going to talk to us about that. So let's get into it. Catherine, thank you very much for joining us, and welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Catherine, tell us about Worth It. I love the name of your company, by the way. And tell us how you got the idea and you got started and what you do for people.
Well, I am a fundraising consultant. I've been doing that for more than 20 years. And before that, I worked at the national headquarters of the American Red Cross in Washington, D.C. And then I worked at the international headquarters of Special Olympics. And they were big organizations, multi-million dollar budgets. And I realized that there were a lot of small and mid-sized organizations that were really struggling with fundraising. And so I became a consultant. There's 1.5 million nonprofits in the United States, and there's about 10 million people who serve on board of directors, and they get no training, no help. They're just kind of thrown in like, hey, you can run a business, so you can run a nonprofit. And they're similar yet different. So I come into nonprofit organizations, and I teach their boards of directors how to fundraise.
That's spectacular because it's techniques have changed, you know, times have changed, tactics have changed, and yet there's not a lot of instruction out there. And like you say, a lot of people, they get invited to be on this board, and they're like, wow, that's great, I'm on a board. And then they're given their mission, go raise money.
Well, and so, I've been on 12 boards of directors myself, so I certainly understand. And a lot of boards, you know, you're attracted to it because they'll say, oh, it's only 2 hours a month, and it's a lot of fun. And the first thing you find out is, no, it's not 2 hours a month, and it's not necessarily a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, a lot of people aren't used to the they believe in the charity, they believe in the nonprofit, and they think this is going to be great. Everybody should believe in it, and they find out it's a hard road to raise money. What should a business owner know when they're asked to serve on a board of nonprofits, a board for a nonprofit?
Well, I think that business owners should have clarity on why they're being asked. So there's these private conversations that happen before anyone's asked to be on the board. Let's get so-and-so, he's going to be great, he'll raise us a lot of money, he knows a lot of people. And then they don't tell that person that that's what their interest is. So the first question you should have is, well, okay, why me? What is it that you want me to do? But then from your point of view, you should have clarity on why you want to be involved. Is this a cause that's interesting to you? Is there a problem that you would like to solve that would interest you? Is it that you want to meet new people or make connections for your business? So you know, you as the listener should say, well, you know, why would I want to do this? Not just why do they need me?
Good point. Good point. It should be something that you can really believe in, because there will be effort involved in it. And if you don't have that, if you're not really behind it, your heart's not in it, you might not be the best fit, right?
Right, exactly. Or, you know, you might get there and find that it's not really for you. I want people to have a positive experience when they're on boards, and that really starts with how you're first approached. And I think that a lot of boards don't really know how to tell a business owner what it is that they need. They want to be nice instead of being frank. A lot of times business owners will get on a board and find out that financially they're a mess. And no one told them that in advance. And I have to say, you know, one of the advantages I have as a consultant instead of an employee is people tell me the truth because they almost want to challenge me, like, you know, oh, is this the worst nonprofit you've ever seen? And if I was an employee coming in, they would say, oh, no, it's great. It's very happy. Everyone loves each other here. So I think that's what happens to potential board members, too. They get the, it's great, everyone loves each other here. And then they get on the board and they find out, well, maybe that's not entirely true.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good, yeah. If your heart's not in it, it may not be the winner for you. And, you know, a lot of us parents have been involved in school fundraisers where our children are instructed to go out and sell cookies or magazines or whatever the heck it is. And we end up buying a lot of those things ourselves just to save ourselves the aggravation and the effort. And do a lot of business owners who are asked to participate in fundraising turn around and write a check themselves? And how can they avoid that? How can they be more effective fundraisers and get outside funds in instead of writing big checks to themselves?
Well, I do think that people should write a check. I don't think that it necessarily needs to be a big check. I don't think you should only be there to write checks. But I do think that everyone should write a check. But I want to get people out of the, oh, no, now I'm going to have to donate thousands of dollars worth of my products so that they can be sold for, you know, two-thirds the price. I think that one of the things that business owners should think about is how can they help? Where would they be most useful? So, for example, let's say you have a retail store and you would want to bring people in the door, and this nonprofit says to you, well, you know, how can you help us raise money? You can say, well, let's have an open house about the nonprofit at the business. So I saw this done by a local company where they had a business panel of local business leaders to come in and talk about the nonprofit to an audience. And then, of course, as long as everybody's there in the store, they're shopping afterwards, and I think there was a discount for anything that was purchased. But I thought a nice way of having the business owner have people go through the door and be seen as supporting the community. But you could also, say, host a fundraising event in your own home where you say to the nonprofit, why don't you come in and do a presentation? I'll have my friends come and hear what you're about, or you could do it at your office and I'll have my clients come in and hear what you're about. It doesn't even have to be a fundraiser. It doesn't have to ask for money. It can be just to get the word out. But, again, it gives people, business owners, a way to bring people in through the door and be seen as supporting the community without having to donate products and services.
Yeah, I like that. So there's the side benefit for the owner, but it's the main benefit, again, is going to be you're creating awareness and visibility for the nonprofit. But there's no reason why it shouldn't be good for your business as well, if you can think that through. Now, when you go in to talk to nonprofit boards about fundraising, what are some of the problems that they're having, and how can they get better at fundraising?
Well, one of the first things is that most people have never undergone any training in fundraising. As you say, it's, you know, you learn in school, we have to sell products, and our school will get 50% of the profit, and then the product's marked up 300%. And that doesn't teach you fundraising. That teaches you how to sell a product, which might be useful to you in business someday, but it's not useful to nonprofits. Like, for example, take Girl Scouts. I think pretty much everybody in the United States can, you know, discuss the different kinds of Girl Scout cookies, but most people don't know what's the mission of the Girl Scouts, what's the purpose. And so they're not getting out their message that they turn girls into leaders, or that 70% of women senators in the United States are former Girl Scouts, because they're so busy selling you a cookie, a box of cookies for $4 or $5, which, you know, you wouldn't normally pay that much for a box of cookies, that they don't get their message through. So I think that one of the things that board members can do is to bring in some training to learn how to do fundraising effectively. The most effective fundraising is just sit down with someone, tell them what you do, and ask for money. It It takes an hour, maybe less, but you can get contributions of $1,000 or more. But instead, we're so busy doing the equivalent of selling Girl Scout cookies that we never actually get that message forward. We don't talk about what our organizations do. So what you see is galas and golf tournaments, and they're a transaction. And they're just one step up from the school's car wash or bake sale. They're just fancier, but they have a low net, they have high costs, and people walk out and they don't know what the organization does. If instead of a gala or a golf tournament, which can take 4 hours, you sit down a group of people for an hour, you explain what you do, you ask for money, they have a choice of whether to give or not. If they choose to give, they choose the amount. And that works far better. The costs are very low to do that. You can do it as a brunch. You can do it in your own home as a coffee or a dessert. But you sit people down, and they will give you far higher amounts. And you see this, you know, in your own life, you know, they, with the bake sale at school, and maybe you spend $5 or $10 for cookies. And if somebody had said to you, here's why the school needs money, you would have been happy to write a check for $50 or $100. But you can't buy $50 or $100 worth of baked goods.
Well, is it one of those situations where, you know, we'll attack by land, sea, and air? We'll do everything we can. We'll have the gala. We'll have the bake sale. We'll have the car wash. We'll have the – I mean, there's a lot of subterfuge – not subterfuge, but there's a lot of, you know, not – I didn't mean to say
gimmicks.
It that way. What I meant is, yeah, gimmicks. There's a lot of things like events, entertainment, golf, recreational activities that are maybe intended to differentiate because there's so many needy causes out there today. Is that part of the problem? Is that people are just saying, how do we do something a little bit different so that people will want to come to the event in the first place?
Well, but let's face it, the land, sea, and air approach of let's throw everything at this doesn't work for nonprofits. And you can tell that it doesn't because the nonprofit comes out of it and they're still broke. They had the gala that raised $50,000, but it cost $30,000, and that doesn't include the staff time. It's hard because, again, nobody has training in fundraising, so they don't know that the gala is a bad idea. They look around and everybody's doing the same thing. And so they do the same thing. So they're not even differentiating themselves. Here's my test. Walk out of the gala and say, what's the name of the organization and what's three things that they do? And chances are you can't do that because they never told you what they did. They had the silent auction or they had the golf tournament and they had the hole-in-one, but you don't know what the organization does or why it's important. But the land, sea, and air idea is, you know, like, let's throw everything at it.
Right.
That's problematic too because that's, you know, any business owner can tell you there's a lost opportunity cost. So if you have... Literally, organizations will have 100 or 150 volunteers working on the gala, and there's 22 people on the committee, and the committee has three-hour meetings, and they meet every week for 3 months. There's a lost opportunity cost because when you're working on that huge event, you can't actually do things that are effective. So if you're in a three-hour meeting, and that's one of 20 meetings over the course of 6 months, you're not sitting down with somebody and saying, here's what we're doing, I'd like you to write a check. I've written my own personal check, I want you to write a check. And in 1 hour of your time, you can make a lot more money for the organization than sitting in committee meetings week after week.
That's very, very relevant and interesting perspective, and it makes a lot of sense. It's you're eating up a lot of time that probably isn't thought of as much because people are volunteering, but it's opportunity cost where you could be out, those people could be out face-to-face asking for and probably raising more net dollars. That's a great, great idea. So what can a business owner do to get the nonprofit to be better about fundraising so that fundraising doesn't take a lot of time and can raise more money? What are some of the tips you have for them?
Well, so one thing I would do is put on your business hat, you're a business person, and say, okay, well, let's look at what we're doing now. How much did the event raise? How much did it cost? Did when you do costs, how much did you include staff time? A lot of people say, well, you know, the event raised X, but then they're not including staff time. So it's like, okay, well, let's, you know, nicely and kindly, because there were volunteers involved and they really care about this, but in a kind way, how much staff time did that actually take? And I run this through. I have something called the CATE formula. It's cost, amount, time, and effort. And it's pretty simple to apply. You know, what was the gross amount raised minus cost? That equals your net. And then how much time? How many hours by effort? How many people? And you do the math. And I'll run this in front of people. It takes a couple of minutes. And they'll find out that their volunteers, for every hour they put in, made $3.77 for the organization. And once people say that, they don't want to do it anymore. You know, they're excited if they think they're raising $50,000 or $100,000 right up until they figure out that for the amount of time, they're not even making minimum wage.
Wow, that's eye-opening information that I'm sure our listeners would want to be able to present to their board. And so you have a white paper. That tell us about the white paper that would help them to evaluate that expense.
It's just a worksheet. It basically walks you through how to do the math. And if you know just four things about any kind of fundraising, how many people were involved, how many hours did they put in, what was the gross and what was the net for, or what was the cost for the event, you can plug it in. I'd be happy to send that to people. Right now my website's down, but let me give you my email address. It's Worthwhile, which is worth. So everything's a play on my last name. So I'm Kathy Wertheim, and it's Worthwhile is W-E, so it starts with we instead of W-O, as the word Worthwhile usually is. But Worthwhile at AOL.com, and people can just write me, and I'll be happy to send them a white paper on this. You don't get on a mailing list. I'm not going to spam you forever. Because I just really want this message to get out of, you know, for business owners, put on your business hat. You know this when it comes to your business. You don't think about it for a nonprofit. But, you know, if you had sales of $10,000 a month and your costs were, you know, $10,005 a month, you pretty much stop doing that. but when we have nonprofits, it's like, oh, it costs us $1.10 for every dollar we raise through our event, but we can't kill it because, oh, people really enjoy the event. No, any business owner would kill that kind of activity. It's a, you know, it's people aren't quite, they don't have a structure to think things through, and that's what the CATE formula will do.
I think it's great, Kathy. I think it comes under the heading of don't just do something, sit there. You know, don't just do something. Think about what you're doing, evaluate it, have a good formula, and have some structure. And you're putting structure to that thought process for our listeners. And for that, we really thank you for that. Now, tell us your website anyways, because this is going to be timeless. This will be up for a long time. What is your website address?
So it's Worth It. It's WERTH-IT.com.
Perfect. And so for our listeners out there, again, if you're doing your charity, your nonprofit, a favor by bringing this information to them, and give Kathy a call and find out about this white paper and the calculations, because this could make a big difference. You could be a hero to your nonprofit by bringing this to their attention and really helping them change things so that it's better in the future. So, Kathy, we really appreciate you coming on the show. Been great information, very eye-opening, and I know a lot of our listeners are on nonprofit boards, so hopefully this will get out and people will be giving you a call and getting in touch with you.
Thanks so much.
We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back after this message, so please stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. This is Spike Reel for The Exit Coach. Business owners, can you name the 8 key value drivers that you and your managers should be focusing on to increase the value of your business? Introducing the Sellability Score Index. Visit our website and answer 25 questions about your business, and you will instantly receive your sellability score, showing you how well you stack up in the 8 value driver areas. It's a great management tool. It's absolutely free for our listeners. Just visit exitcoachradio.com and click Get My Sellability Score.
Does thinking about what will happen to your business if you're gone keep you awake at night? Will you get the price you need from your business to carry you through retirement? The BEI Network of Exit Planning Professionals is the world's leading advisor network with the power to help business owners transition out of business on their own timeline and terms. Ask your most trusted advisor to create a BEI plan for you or visit us at exitplanning.com. That's exitplanning.com.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.